No, I didn't check. I had looked. We did it right on the back. Good evening, everybody. If you want to walk, come on down closer. You know, we're a close family here. We got a lot of open seats. I'll make our song sing much better. I know we can still sing in our parts, but feel free to, if you want to come down and take an open seat, that'll make it sound so much better tonight when we have our song service, especially for these little ones. What we're going to do tonight is a little bit of a different format. We're going to take out the first 15 minutes, so those that are young ones, the young ones that usually, if you want to lead a prayer, read a scripture, lead us in a song, we'll take about the first 15 minutes, so y'all can come down, and sit down, and come up and participate. And then after that, we'll have like an open format for about 30 minutes to for anybody who wants to open and read a scripture, lead us in prayer. And then after that, Brother Don Wilkins will be bringing the invitation for us after that, so we can all plan on that. We'll use that kind of format tonight. First song we're going to sing is number 587. 587, Sing and Be Happy. And after we sing this song, Brother Larry Rodriguez will come and lead us in prayer after we have this song. So the first song will be Sing and Be Happy. We all know the song, so everybody sing out as we sing the song. Know me. If the skies up above your gray, you are faint of blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the day through, there's a silver line that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see my friend. Trust his promises grand. You gotta sing and be happy. Press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you. He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful. Look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today.
Be happy. Savior Jesus Christ, and we come to him tonight as a family. We approach the throne through our Savior, and we are thankful for that opportunity. We're thankful for a Savior who loved us enough to die for us, and a Father who was willing to send his Son for us. Thank you again, Father, for the many here, the blessings that you've just bestowed on this family here, the love we have for each other, the closeness we feel, the support we provide each other, and the encouragement. We thank you for putting us together in this place together as a family. God, help us tonight to worship you in a way that pleases you, Father. Help us to sing and read scripture and just be part of this and have our hearts and minds wrapped around this service to you, Father. Again, thank you for this evening together as a family. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Okay, for those who are getting here, Greg announced that the first 15 minutes is going to be for the young ones that are training, and then go into the next segment where the older ones will do things, and then we'll have an invitation for the non-Christians. Okay, we have our first Bible reading.
Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Amen. Well, let the little children come unto me.
Bow with me, please.
Thank you, dear God. Thank you for this wonderful day that you've given us. Thank you for this church building and the Christians and all the people, and help those that are sick and poor and need food. And thank you for everything that you've done for us, and thank you for the grass and the trees and the fun things we get to do and we get to learn about you. And thank you for the fire and fire that we can make to keep us warm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hosanna, Hosanna in the high.
Oh.
Number 63, I will call upon the Lord. Number 63, I will call upon the Lord. If you haven't, let's sing. I will call upon the Lord.
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Sing and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more crying there, we are going. no more crying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King.
Young ones, you want to do it before we move on to the next group? Anybody? Okay. Draw back Tommy and pull him back, whoever.
Scott. Since you all are a family, kind of wanted to give you an update of what's going on with our family. January 13th. Janice and I are supposed to be in Ukraine working on our next adoption. But I need your prayers with that, because the young man who we're trying to adopt, he soon will be 16. And he should be at the orphanage school this year, but they advanced him and he wound up graduating early. So he left the school. They put him in a trade school, but apparently he's not really doing very much work in the trade school, and I'm thinking it's because he knows he has a family coming for him, so he's kind of really not putting in the work, kind of counting his days till he leaves. But this summer, Satan, through use of the world, really kind of, I think, put some pressure on his life and some of the other boys who were in Ukraine this summer, and I know that they wound up getting a job with a man on a local farm or whatever they were doing. He was paying them with cigarettes and vodka. And he was not a boy who ever drank or really ever smoked before. And this summer, apparently he did a lot of that. And I'm kind of worried for him and just what he's doing and where he's going and how he's doing. And from what I understand, he hasn't really been very reachable. He doesn't have a cell phone. The people who we know over there have been trying to find him, trying to locate him. He's kind of missing in action right now. So we're kind of worried about him. So I ask you to pray for him. He is an excellent young man. I think he's just really kind of going through some struggles. So we'll find out what's going to happen in January. There are still many other kids over there who are wonderful kids. Forbid if it doesn't work out with him. But he's just kind of really special to us and to our family. So I just ask you to pray for him and pray for us as we travel on, we'll probably leave 2 days early. We leave on Saturday, and we have to be at the State Department on Monday the 13th. So just keep our family in your prayers. Thank you. Heavenly Father, humbly we come to you as a family, Lord, a family of your children who loves you, Father, and a family who cares for others, Lord. And as we help others throughout this week, let us always remember the orphans and the widows of this world, because there are so many, Father, there are so many that need Christian families or families to just to step up to care for the orphans and for the widows. And Father, we just need to always keep this in our forefront. We may not be able to do something physically ourselves. We can always support those through prayer, through meals, or for whatever it is, Father, as we are charged by you to take care of them and to take care of the poor of this world. May we always remember how blessed we are as we just had this holiday of Thanksgiving, and I'm sure all of us had more food than we could ever eat. Let us always remember those who do not have those things, Father. And as Christians, that we are charged to step up to help our brothers and sisters and to help those who do not have your light in them, Father, and that we can share our wealth and share our bounty with those who need somebody to help pick them up and dust them off. Let us never forget this. And let us never forget that all of this comes through you, Father. All of our blessings that we have come from you. And for that, we are truly thankful, especially your Son and his sacrifice on the cross, so that we could have a life with you everlasting. It's in his great and glorious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Good evening. Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from his time forth and forever. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the land of the righteous, so that the righteous will not put forth their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But as for those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead them away with the doers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel.
647.
And if you can, let's listen and stand for this one. First and fifth verse.
Soldiers of Christ, arise.
Singing this song in their classes, and so I'm going to be asking them if they will to please sing especially loud, and as adults, let's pay attention to some of these kids that are singing this song as well. Let's sing all three verses of Have Thine Own Way.
Oh,
2 Samuel chapter 12. This is, of course, the very sad story of David's sin with Bathsheba and Nathan coming to talk to him. Verse 1 says, "Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said, 'There were two men in the city, and the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a great many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and his children. It would eat of his bread and drink of his cup and lie down in his bosom, and was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man. He was unwilling to take from his own flock or his own herd to prepare it for the wayfarer who had come to him. Rather, he took the poor man's ewe lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." What was David's job before he was king? He was a shepherd. You think as Nathan is telling him this story that he remembered his favorite little lamb, his little one that he probably sat at the table, that he fed, that he probably, David being a musician, sang to as he's out on those cold nights taking care of the flock. And you see David's reaction. Then David's anger burned greatly against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, surely this man who has done this deserves to die." And of course we know the story. Nathan says, "Thou art the man." But David's reaction to the story, because he's personally involved, he sees this little lamb, he sees the destruction that this rich man caused, taking and stealing and killing this little pet. And David's reaction is visceral, it is real, and it's anger. He burns with righteous indignation towards sin. And of course, it turns out that it's his own sin. And that's one of those things, and I'm speaking to myself here, that it's hard to sometimes do in our world that we see that is filled with sin, is to be angry about it, just to be mad about it, just to be just perturbed that we see the nastiness out in the world. We're used to it. We just kind of wink at it, we shrug at it. But this is, I think, a good example for us, and especially for me, to remember to not think that it's such an okay thing, that it's just a normal thing, just to be frustrated and to be angry about it as God is angry about it. And of course, the rest of the story is, it's not that you're pointing the finger and being mad at everybody else for sinning, but looking at our own sin and seeing that thou art the man, we are the one, and being angry and disgusted and not just rolling our shoulders and thinking it's no big deal. It is a big deal. It is a very big deal. And it's the big deal that Jesus died for. Just a thought.
Good evening.
Good evening.
First, I want to brag on this congregation. And then I'm going to ask you for a favor. This story... We were on a field trip and I saw some of the sisters in Christ, and it was strange because I saw another brother, I can't remember his name, that works at Lowe's. I feel horrible saying that.
Brother French.
I see him all the time and I tease him. But anyway, it's on a field trip and we're walking, and three young ladies were waving at me, and I didn't really recognize because we were out of place, and they said, "Hey, the young ladies are speaking to you." I went down there and spoke to them and everything, and it was Sister Wilkes and Brother Sandusky's wife and another young lady were walking. Josh and his wife were walking and everything, getting exercise and all. And the kids asked me, who are those ladies? I said, "Well, they go to church with me." A couple of them said, "Well, I like to go to church with you, Coach Graham, because they are attractive ladies." I said, "Well, that's not why you want to come there, but you're more welcome if they're to get you here." You know, I said, "But they're married." And then after that, we went to Lowe's, took the same group to Lowe's as well. And then I saw Brother French, and I went over there and teased them, and I'm walking away, and they were like, "Man, Coach Graham, you know everybody." I said, "Well, they go to church." I said, "Man, everybody right here go to church with you." And the kids that have met Mr. Sandusky and several other brothers, Quince and all them, and they still talk about it. And yesterday in the yard, some kids came over to help me in the garage. And the first thing they mentioned was, like, "I remember helping y'all move." They came down and helped us move Sister, I'm horrible with names.
Ridgeway.
And they talked about everybody there. They said, well, I know that they were Christians, but I felt comfortable around them. And that was strange he said that, standing out in the yard. So that's the impact that y'all are having on all the people that I come in contact with. And the favor that I want to ask y'all, I know y'all are familiar with a food drive. And me and my wife work in the system, Sister Horn and the rest of them, and Sister Bettis. They can all tell you there's a lot of kids in the system that are struggling. And we have kids on our wrestling team that sometimes don't even have an opportunity to eat other than at school. So there are teachers at school that are bringing canned goods or doing whatever they can for those kids. Not because they play sports, but because they're in need. It is a lot of homeless families I know in Kannapolis. And my wife talked to me the other day about some kids that we see all the time down at Walmart. And we found out they hang around at Walmart because they stay in their cars. They don't have anywhere to live. And in Walmart, you can stay there 24/7. Sit out, you know, sit in the bench or walk around in the store, whatnot, and stay warm. So with that being said, only if you are willing, if you could bring just one canned good, because this go to people that I know personally, and so that I can give it to them. It's not, you know, it's good that they have pantries and everything, but these are going to kids that actually, that I coach every day. And family, their parents are not afraid to ask me for help as far as food. And one is homeless on the team. It was asking me, did I know anyone that had a place that they could stay? We're working it out in Kannapolis through some of the teachers, so that's a blessing in itself. But if you're willing, pass the word. I'm going to shoot out an email if it's okay. If everyone can bring one canned good from a congregation that's this big, we can let everyone know where we are, who we are, what we stand for. I appreciate it.
Bring the SUV.
Oh, here comes Micah. All right. After Micah leads a song, then one of the young ones forgot to, I guess he was a little timid time, but he'll go after Micah, and then Brother Don will bring us the lesson.
Micah's not leading a song.
Come on.
That'll be Wednesday. I'm saving that for Wednesday. The whole busload of young people went to Fuquay a couple weeks ago, and we had a great road trip. We talked about a couple things while we were there. One of the things was our identity and who our identity is with. And one of the key theme of the weekend was in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. And the verse around identity, you've heard a lot. And it reads this way: "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people." And there's some key verses in there, and I had a really good mix of young people in my class. There's probably about 30 to 35 in just the 15 and 16 year olds. And a couple of them didn't even speak English. About 15 of them were Latino, from a Latino congregation there. There were a couple of blacks or a couple of whites. There were just all different races. And this was a great verse to key in on, because the first verse, Peter tells us that we are a chosen race. And what he's reminding us here over and over and over again, you are no longer white. Or in their case, you're no longer a Jew. You're no longer Greek. You're no longer a race. You are a chosen race of God. Forget that. Because you guys remember, as you were taught, how much bigotry and there was just between, like what Tommy was talking about this morning, with the Jews and the Samaritans. They would go around Samaria to not even walk through there. Right? Just for us, for Kentucky, we would walk around to not even have to go into Indiana. Right? You don't want to go into Hoosierville. basically, or Tennessee. But that was the same way with the Jews. And what I want to just be specific about here is that we are a chosen race. This congregation is blessed with such blinders when it comes to that. And that I believe that that's who we are. We're no longer Micah. My identity is no longer what the state tells me by my driver's license or what the federal government tells me by my social security number. I am a Christian, and that is my identity.
Songbooks and the song that we'll have after this will be song number 943. Number 943. Do you know my Jesus?
Turning into your Bible. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, 29, and 30. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. This particular reading is an invitation to all. All who labor under burdens of any kind. It's a universal invitation. The word come is a word of action. It's a verb. It means to move from there to here. That's what come means. To move from a life of sin to a life that Christ wants us to have. No longer separated from him, but joined with him through obedience to his word. Jesus assures us that he will give us rest. Rest from the burden of sin, an assurance of eternal life. The Apostle Paul, in addressing the Christians in Ephesus, reminds them of some things that they are to do. Putting off the old man, putting on the new man or new self. While these admonitions that Paul mentions are being addressed to those in Ephesus who are saints, who are faithful in Christ Jesus, an application could be made to everyone. That is those who may be here tonight who have not obeyed our Lord in baptism. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 24 and several verses following, Paul encourages the hearer to put on a new self. It goes into a sequence of things to do and not to do. He says, like laying aside falsehood. And he says, speaking truth. And he says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Do not steal, but labor with your hands so that one might be able to share with others. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us an offering and sacrifice to God. In the book of Philippians, Paul gives us more words of encouragement to read by. In Philippians 4, 4 and 9, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And verse 8 is a special verse for me because it was one when our daughter was very young that was special to her and still is. And when I read this verse, obviously my mind goes to my daughter. As you know, is in Australia. I've been there 25. It's been a long time. But anyhow, in verse 8 says, let's start with verse 7, the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Very encouraging words to all of us on what we should be thinking about, where our mind should be, dwelling on things that Paul mentions here in the book of Philippians. He goes on in verse 9 and says, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace shall be with you. Any here tonight who want to put on this new self and come to the Lord and obey him in baptism, you're encouraged to do so now. You may be at a point in life that you are still not sure what you must do and want some more time to study of God's word. We stand ready to help you in answering any question that you may have, either later tonight, tomorrow, or any time. I'm sure there are those here that receive calls at midnight, late at night, saying, hey, I've got a question. And those, thank goodness, we have telephones and plus all other time technology now that we can communicate with one another. But those doors are always open, and we encourage you to take advantage of those. If you have any questions, anything you'd like to talk about, anytime you want prayers offered for yourself or your family, don't hesitate. You know, sometimes we all think, and I do, I don't want to bother them right now. Well, it's not a bother. I know many of you have received calls late at night. Say, well, I'm sorry to wake you up, but I've got a question, or I've got a concern, or I've got a problem. I need some help. And I don't care what time it is, midnight, 2, 3 in the morning, or whatever. So if you get home and say to yourself, your parents, your family, your friends, I want to be baptized. You have any here a call that can be done at any time. Now's a good time. It may be at midnight, maybe at 3 a.m. in the morning, or whenever. When you make that decision, give us a call. And as we stand together to sing a praise to God, you're encouraged to come to the Lord now as we stand and sing.
Have you a heart that's weary, standing alone?
wonderful weekend this has been to be around the lots of people. There have been friends and family relatives, and you know, it's just a taste of what heaven's going to be like when we get to all be together again. And I appreciate everybody participating tonight and this whole weekend, and I hope you enjoy being time with your family. And we look back forward to being back again. And well, know those that did not have the opportunity, the Lord's Supper has been left prepared. If you exit down the hallway to the extra class ring and go down the room on your left, it'll be served. There'll be someone there ready to waiting to serve you at that time. And we appreciate all that's been here, and hope that we'll be back again on Wednesday night for a regular Bible study and come prepare lots of good classes, and we look forward to that. So as we close, I ask Brother Richard if he would come and lead us in closing prayer.
Our Father, our God, Father, we're so thankful that we've had the opportunity today to come together to worship you, to give praise, honor, and glory to your name. Now, Father, as we close out our service, we pray, Father, that you'll guide us and use us throughout this week, and forgive us where we fall short, in Jesus' name.